God designed us to live in the strength of hope. But here's the bottom line. The measure of hope that you live with, the measure of hope that I live with, is entirely up to me. It is what I choose to feed my soul on. I want you to look at this verse with me in Psalm 78. Hopelessness is heart disease in the church. It is the root of heart disease. We were designed to be robust believers in the nature of God. Faith does not put me in control. Faith does not control God. Faith does not manipulate him to where he has to do what I want. Faith puts me in the greatest place of co-laboring with him, to where he is able to fulfill his own desires through a cooperative people.
Yes.
How many of you believe on earth as it is in heaven is the will of God? I mean, honestly, that's actually what he intends. Is it happening? What's not happening is not because he lacks the desire or he has not put at our disposal what is needed. That may be too large of a piece for me to take with 13 minutes left, but let's just try. It's not because there's lack on his end of the equation. He's done everything necessary. Now it's up to you and to me to explore and discover what he's put at our disposal. Well, why did this happen? I don't know. I don't have answers for most things. But I do live aware of the fact that there are realities that surround certain problems that we've not yet learned how to dismantle. And in this pursuit of the one who hides things for us is the pursuit of solutions, answers, and breakthroughs, one by one, that aligns that part of this world with heaven. And that is our task. That's our responsibility, is to implement on earth as it is in heaven. Psalms 78 is a tremendous psalm. It's an aerial view over Israel's history. Their successes, their failures, their failures, their failures, their failures, and a moment of success again, and then their failure. And it's kind of an aerial view on how and why these things happen. And it's an extraordinary psalm. But what he does in the psalm is he highlights the elements that brought about their success, the elements that made life work for them the way he designed it to work. Do you remember when the Lord spoke to the nation of Israel, they're captive in Egypt, they get released, and he gives them the promise of the promised land. Remember that story, or are you just staring at me? All right. Dan remembers, so I'm going with you, Dan, you and me. All right. So we got this whole thing of the promised land. A whole generation. Did they get in? Nope. Well, did God lie? Nope. They just disqualified themselves for what he promised. And what we're learning to do is how to not disqualify ourselves for what God intended. Sometimes we get it good. Sometimes we miss it by a mile. Is anybody tracking with me here? All right. Well, I'll just talk to me then. All right. So let's go to Psalm 78. And verse 5, he says, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. Okay, testimony, spoken, written record of anything God has done, and a law. Once again, God gives us commandments to ensure our success. His commandments are not restrictions or restraints. They are not to keep us from pleasure. His commandments keep us from immediate pleasure that destroy long-term pleasure. Immediate success that destroys long-term success. Thanks. My credit will allow me to buy things I will regret buying later. Every month. Being a slave to that payment. And what the Lord does with his commandments is he commands us for the long-term success instead of just immediate gratification. And if we could see that, we would celebrate every time he said yes or said no. We would celebrate every no because we know it's connected to a better yes. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. New American Standard says that they may set their confidence in God. Okay, think through this with me. The Lord says, I've given you commandments. These are the directives I have for your life. They ensure your success. Suck it up and do it. The testimony, don't forget the God who invades the impossible. These two things, if you'll make them known to your children, and then make sure that they make them known to their children, it will be instinctive for that next generation to place their hope in God. Why? Because seeing the commandments and the fruitfulness of the commandments of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord sets a person up for hope. So I would say this, hope comes from the presence, from the testimony, and from the commandments. When you see them as God designed them, they give us reason to hope. David would talk about waking up in the middle of the night and meditate. He would meditate on the testimony of the Lord. He would meditate on the commandments of the Lord. It probably wouldn't hurt for all of us to pick up a little better habit of contemplating the directives that God's given us in our life. So for some of you, the Lord has restrained your activity in this area of life because he wants you to give yourself to this area of life. And just to stop and to think and allow God to work in and through your imagination releases such great hope because you have this anticipation. I'm saying no to the movie channel today because this next summer we're going on vacation. It's the long-term delight and pleasure that keeps us filled with anticipation and hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Desire realized is a tree of life. God designed us to live in the strength of hope. But here's the bottom line. The measure of hope that you live with, the measure of hope that I live with, is entirely up to me. It is what I choose to feed my soul on. If I feed my soul on all the things that didn't happen, I will have what's called common sense. Very common and little sense. But when you take on the mind of Christ and realize, I don't need an explanation for this. What I do need is a sense of presence and to know what to do next. I just need to know, what does he require of my life? This psalm, I love this psalm for many reasons. But one is he says, make them known to your children. Have them make these things known to their children, that they may hope in God. What's the point? A person who embraces the word of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord, this miracle, these miracle components, embraces these two things, casts such a long shadow that multiple generations are inspired into hope because of the decisions they've made. Think about it. You stand before the Lord and you see people that you never met, you never knew their name, but you find that you made a hard decision in this moment. You made a challenging decision here. You chose to save instead of spend. metaphorically speaking. You chose to restrict yourself here and had such influence that multiple generations grew up inspired to just believe God, just to trust God because of your decision. It's the beauty of a hope-filled life.